Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Praise the Lord. We are grateful for the presence of Holy Spirit who has awakened us to a new day, a day that the Lord has made. I would like to start the program this morning with this awesome declaration that I am making in the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I pray that this music comes across to you. Well, amen, amen. That's how I want to start my day every day. That's my prayer, that I will wake with the sound of praise.
Woo!
As the prize of my
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. That is my declaration. And so we have come on our Friday fellowship to gather, to worship, to praise, to learn, to study, to be informed and encouraged, uplifted, and to develop our life and our purpose in Christ. And so we are going to start a 31-day devotional from the work of Andrew Murphy, Abide in Christ. Hallelujah. That song gets me going all the time. We are exploring our next adventure in the Word, and his words have comforted us as we start this journey. Good morning, good morning.
Good morning,
saints. Worship with me as we study and partake in this meal that God has for us. This journey, we've studied him in many aspects and in our relationship with in many aspects, and it's all connecting, and it's all different perspectives of the same love, intimate relationship that we are bid to have with him. And so, to me, which is why that song is so appropriate, you know, I want the prize of my life to be his face, to see his face, to receive that invitation to come and to abide. We looked at him as our Redeemer, as the seven next words after resurrection, and how it comforted and nurtured us and bidded us into this new kind of relationship, because before the resurrection, the relationship was never like this before, never like this. And he knew that it would be something that we would need to be introduced to. He was going to be that wonderful gardener to till our soil so that we could enjoy that which he was going to do for us. He was going to be our sin, the teacher, Holy Spirit, to teach and to comfort and to keep us. He was going to be the good shepherd to lead us through the journey. And so we looked at all of these things, and Christ has invited us to abide with him. We're going to come beyond the doorway and experience the unspeakable joy of dwelling with the King of Kings. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thanks. You are on the line this morning with Words for the Word. I'm your host, Overseer Pauline Thornton. We are rejoicing in the ministry of Holy Spirit, and in his presence we do dwell, and we desire always to remain moment by moment anticipating his ministry in our lives. Praise the Lord, saints. We want to start with our scripture for this reading, this study that we're going to be doing, and we want to establish our format, even though it's a 31-day devotional. Obviously, we won't be doing it daily, but we will take each section, section as we go, and we will linger there until he bids us come further. I pray that you have your books, and in doing so, perhaps we, those that may not have them, I just wanted to share with you the title of the 31 days, each one of the days. Elder Deborah, you're on the line.
Yes, I am. I'm trying to get off mute. Sorry.
Okay. No problem. I just wanted to share with different ones. This is a book that Elder has recommended, and a very powerful study. And so we will draw on some of her expertise, that she's gone through the book before as well. And so we want to be able to you know, glean from one another some truths that are revealed here. You're online live. You can speak at any time. You'd have to take your phones off of mute to share and interact with us. We want it to be a dialogue as well as a teaching. And so we are going
Amen.
To read the titles of each one of the day's devotion so that you just kind of get an idea that it is a 31-day devotion. And sometimes it gets good and you don't want to wait. Amen.
Excuse me, Overseer.
Yes,
I just got a quick question. So you're saying in the actual book that there are the 31 days that are listed out? Because in the audio, I didn't get that. I didn't get that understanding. And maybe there's a second part or something that maybe I should look into.
Well, let us share this with you, because maybe they presented it differently. There have been many versions
mm-hmm.
of the book in the past and in the present, and so just probably depending on which version, you know, or printing that you have access to, but they may have listed them where the way they presented it may have been in chapter form. So maybe
yes, very well could be. Okay.
Yes. So, and maybe these will start to sound a little familiar to you as the elder starts to read them. But actually, it is a 31-day devotional, and each day has a section, and we're going to do the sections. But I'm sure we're not doing them every day. But and we may do more than one when we come together. But we'll, you know, definitely define that the week before. Okay, Elder?
Okay. All right.
All right. Good morning. Like you just mentioned, it comes in a 31-day format, at least the one I'm looking at here, but I do have one that is listed as chapters, so you may be very correct on that. I'm just going to read them in order. All you who have come, did you want the scripture first, Overseer, or did you just want to go to the table of contents? First table of contents? All you who have come to him, day one. Day two, and you shall find rest for your souls. Trusting him to keep you. As the branch in the vine,
mm-hmm.
as you come to him by faith, God himself has united you to him. Day seven, as your wisdom, as your righteousness, as your sanctification, as your redemption, the crucified one, God himself will establish you in him every moment, day by day, at this moment, forsaking all for him through the Holy Spirit. When we get to day 18, in the stillness of the soul, in affliction and trial, that you may bear much fruit, so you will have power in prayer and in his love as Christ in the Father, obeying his commandments, that your joy may be full, and in love to the brethren, that you may not sin. Day 28, as your strength. Day 29, and not in self. Day 30, as the surety of the covenant. And day 31, the glorified one.
Amen.
And so those are the 31 divisions of this.
Amen. And I pray that as you heard them being read to you, you were attentive to Holy Spirit bringing back to your remembrance some of the past things that we have done and how these things are going to be presented in a way where so often when we receive truth, we go, okay, I know that's true, and, you know, yes, God, but how do I do it? And I think this is the how you do it portion of all of the things. How do I receive the fact that you tell me peace, my peace I give to you, some of the seven last next words after resurrection, or who are you looking for, and go ye therefore and wait on the Holy Spirit. How do we do those things? And I believe this is going to be our as they used to call it, I think, the practicum. You know, you do the lesson, and then you go out in the field, and then you learn to apply what you've done. And I believe that this section of abiding, which is why we chose this to be the next step in our sharing, is because this is the how-to book. This is the how-to book, and it's so simple. It is so simple. And so we tend to make things more difficult than they are, but only because, and the author brings this up in his introduction, it says, you know, what causes us not to accept his call to abide in me? We accept his call that come and follow me. We accepted that. We got that, and we ran and to the cross, and we surrendered there at the cross, you know, and changed our name and our lives and through believing on the work of the cross. But after the cross comes the resurrection and then the living of that new life, where he knew that that's a different stage, and that stage, it has to include abiding in him. And so I thought it was interesting that those terms, so as always, the word speaks to us on a natural, in a natural environment to communicate to us a spiritual principle. And so abiding in, and he is the vine, and we're gonna get to the scripture, but just as a part of the prefect of what the author presents, it's like, well, let's define some of these words. Abide, and then what is abide? It's a patient expectancy. It is neither wasteful idleness nor anxious striving. And the scripture, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. So those are some things. It's like, first of all, you're talking to your soul, and you're telling your soul, which is the thing, the seat of what we respond to life from. And we're telling our life respondency, wait on God, wait on Holy Spirit. Abiding in him means to draw supernatural strength from the presence of the Lord, or of that which you're abiding in. So then I wanted to look at, well, what is this process of engrafting? And so it's very interesting. Some of the terms that the natural uses to define this process. And so I want to share that with you. And an individual, let's see what his man's name is, Dan Lachish. This is a part of his, what does it mean to be engrafted? And so he did an experiment. He went to a nursery and inquired about, he wanted to go through this physical process of engrafting this branch from one type of a tree to another type of tree, a bonsai type tree. So in the process, he is told some steps that he had to take. And one of the first thing it was, he had to, it required making a very, very sharp razor straight cutting a deep wound into the root tree. And it's like, okay. It had to be cut through the bark into the heartwood of the tree. And it didn't help, but you can't help but to think of our Christ as being wounded. He had to receive that wound in order to receive us. And then the next step after the receiving tree, and they call that the root tree. The root tree receives this sharp, extremely sharp, razor straight cutting, a deep wound in its side, cutting through the bark and through the different layers of the tree, going into the heartwood of the tree. And in order to receive us, Christ had to receive that kind of deep woundedness. And then the next step, you have to select the small branch that you're going to use to transfer to this new tree. And in doing so, you have to cut it from its original tree. If it is going to be a successful grafting, it has to be completely removed from where it was previously receiving its nourishment and support. And so we cannot keep a connection between the old plant if we're going to be engrafted into the new plant. Actually, it's impossible because it won't work. You can't have the branch to be a part of. And so this became a visual. It's like, okay, so we could kind of visually see if this is what we're being bid to do. And this is all done not by the root tree nor the branch that's being engrafted, but this is done by someone else. So we're starting to see the work of the Trinity. This was done by the Father because this is what he required. So when it comes to following Christ, abiding in Christ, trying to hang on to what we have trusted in for support and nourishment in the past, it just won't work. There was another aspect of the engrafting. It was in order for the newly engrafted branch to take, it needed a clean, solid, tight connection to the life-giving nourishment of the root plant. Ah, now we see Holy Spirit knitting us together. Hallelujah. And so just this physical activity, this physical, and it was very, very natural thing to do in biblical days because they did that in order to produce the olives. There were wild olives and there were regular olives. And in order to make the wild olives useful, they had to engraft them into the good olive branch. And you couldn't take the good olive branch and graft it into the wild olive branch because it would not take. It would not take. And so that's another, proverbial vision, imagery for us to look at, illustration. It won't stay. We can't make him like us. He has to make us like him. So we have to do it his way. We have to be where he is. If we're going to grow strong in Christ, we must absolutely be bound to him in such a way that our life nourishment and what we feed and what we are strengthened on are given through Holy Spirit. We must have the ministry of Holy Spirit. And when you look at it, it's Jesus, the root, calls a man to follow him, that's us. Then what Christ is bidding us to do is come and die. So he bids us to come and die. And that's something that our natural man will start to reject. And so we will start to try to change the process so it'll fit, because we fear coming and dying. And yet, that was one of the things that Christ spoke when he came back after his resurrection. That was one of the key words he spoke to the people, so they wouldn't fear that. So they wouldn't fear that. So they would understand, you don't have to worry about that. That's not going to be, I've conquered that. So don't fear dying, because I'm calling you to me, and I'm calling you to come and die. But so that you may live again in me. And so that's part of what the precept is sharing with us, this invitation, and then why we won't accept it, and why we get to that place or don't even believe that place is available to us. Oh, we hear it, we see it, but we don't have a frame of reference for it as it relates to us. So this is a new thing. It's an engrafting. Someone has to know the details of how it works, and God the Father knows it, and he gives it to us through the illustration of this natural process. The author says that the ignorance that we have is the cause of the unbelief that fails to obtain the inheritance. So because we don't believe it, all of the benefits that are in this connection, in this place of intimacy, in this new life, the benefits, we forfeit them. We fail to get them because we don't believe and we don't follow the instruction. One of the things the author brings out is the fact that he's confident that its influence would be manifest in our experiences of purity and power and love and joy and fruit bearing and all blessedness that the Savior connected with, about that he connects with, abiding in him. So we won't perish for lack of knowledge. God is so sure, just like the botanist is, who does this engrafting. They're so sure that it will work, that they're in charge of the process. And as long as we surrender to his knowledge, then there's some things that we're going to benefit, and there are some inheritance that will come through. And they won't just come through for us, but they will come through so that the world will see us. The world will see Christ. The world will know that it's something that can happen. And so we get a confidence in Christ that, yes, we can be transformed. And how does it happen? It takes time. And we have to accept by faith and believe that it will. So you have read, I pray, the prefect. What revelation, what indication did you receive of what the Holy Spirit was going to do through this study in your life? Anybody?
Well, actually, for me, believe it or not, your comment just from a minute ago has given me more clearance of that. When I first read it, I actually had to do it twice, because it was a different reading for me as opposed to the one that we just finished, because the 23rd Psalm was familiar, and I was all excited, and da-da-da-da. And now I get to this, and right away I go, oh, this is serious.
Oh, this is deep.
Yeah, and I go, oh, ooh. And I must say what she read is the way that it is put on my on this Audible. And so and I do believe I need to go back for a third time after listening and give it more concentration and so that I can really, really hear as to what it was saying, and especially about the vine overseer, and to those that are listening, it is just amazing how God, this thing, this word vision, perhaps I should really, really look up this word vision, because like I said, I was labeled as a person of vision. You got to show me. And I carried that along. And God is showing me now, okay, because of my physical vision. Yeah, that forget about it. Forget about that what you see. That's not what I want you to see. You see, not the stuff
Amen.
That you see with your physical eyes. And so even as I was listening to that last night, about the vine and the branch, and as what you were just saying, it just boom in my memory. Seventh or eighth grade, we were taught how to do that with fruit trees, and it was so clear of how you had to have this super sharp instrument and go to the root tree. And mine was, I wanted to see if I could put a red plum tree onto a yellow plum tree. Would this work? And and so we were taught that, how to make that cut. You had to make the clean cut. And first of all, like you said, you had to break off from that branch the old, and it had to be broken off and everything. Nothing could be, my God, and all of this now is becoming real to me.
Amen.
It's amazing.
Amen.
It's amazing.
Awesome, and it's wonderful what you just shared. And I missed that. I didn't share that point of the old branch that was selected. Let's remember, it was selected. We were chosen. That almost receives what it brought into my mind. That's where the circumcision comes on. Where you cut away everything from that old place, that total detachment, you know, cutting it away, so that what's left really is the pureness of it that was originally intended. And so it's who we are is inside, wrapped around this decaying bark that is polluted with sin. And so as that that layer is a cut away from just a portion, not the whole branch, just a portion that's trying to touch the new root. And that's all he's asking. And really, and just like you say, that has to be cleaned up and
clean.
So we want to rush things, but he doesn't rush in his process. And just like I'm sure that, you know, when you were in that process, you like to cut. Okay, this is good enough. You know how you peel a potato?
Yeah.
You got to get every bit of it. And that's what he's committed to doing. That's that journey that goes with the good shepherd. He's committed to doing it. So that is gone, of that old nature, that of being fearful, being bullies, you know, being foolish, being you know, self-destructive, all of that. As journey through the 23rd Psalm, he cut that off of those sheep, and he ended up. They ended up with a new nature. They didn't have the regular nature of the sheep. They had a calm nature, something that was totally against their natural. He had created a new way for them. And so that's why I'm so excited just how the process, as you said, and I was going to share when we opened up, but the song just took me there. The fact that this ministry, Words from the Word, is birthed out of the seven wonders in the Word. And that was a ministry that that is a ministry that puts into illustrative form words from the Word of God, events and different things, and it presents a physical manifestation of them, and how that's we are continuing that even in our sharing, though we're not physically building something, we are literally painting a picture. We're literally giving illustrative life to a process or to a section of scripture or to the principles that are in the Word of God. And we're watching them come forth. And then when we see them, as you were saying, that vision, you know, then it's like we have an aha moment. That's what he was talking about. And so then the process looks different, you know, because on some level, we have to realize, and this study with biblical studies and CCTI and all of these things, all of these teachings that are coming forth, they're coming forth perfecting us in that we have to realize, you know, we can't in doctrine defend some stuff because we got too much of the old root around it. And that stuff needs to be cut off. And it needs to get into the doctrine of the Word of God. And then all of the words that's associated with that principle or with that doctrine that the world will debate and, you know, go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Because we'll have a piece in it, and it's one of the things that she shared during the study, just be able to scripturally defend what you believe. And so there's some people who say, you know, well, no, it's not easy. It's like, well, the Bible says, you know. And so when we start doing that, when we start looking at, you know, the Bible says, you know, I abide in him. Well, how do you abide in him? That's hard. You know, you want to get loose and do this and that. A branch can't get loose all the time. It can't loosen itself. It's the work of the botanist, I'm just going to call, keep that connection.
Yeah.
That's his job, and he does his job. You know, and so it's even though we are warned about other things, you know, like if you can't, you know, if you don't abide, you wither, you die, because that is the truth. Not that it's not going to happen to you. But the thing is, you need the truth to motivate you to believe in the truth. What you're going to do, because the botanist has decided to engraft you into that root, and I love the root being the root of David. It's like, look at God, and then look at man. How the Word of God has so influenced man, and man will never give God credit for.
Okay. Oh my!
This stuff came from the Word, so from the root of David. We were engrafted. So even the whole engrafting process comes from the truth of the Word of God. You know, and so it becomes a picture that once you get that picture, you got it. Now it's clear. Now, okay, I can see that, which is why I believe this book will help us to the how-to book. This is how you do it. We you know, this is one of the things that are listed out that I would like that we follow our list to make sure we are attaining to this knowledge. But in abiding in Christ, what does it really mean? Okay, it means bearing spiritual fruit. Okay, we did the fruit assessment, and we'll do it next week. Elder will get it from me because I can't find mine. And see, where are we with our fruit inspection? You know, and to realize if we're not where if we have not progressed from the 6 months, I'll say, that we've been doing this study and doing this journey with Jesus, not necessarily words for word, but just our journey with Jesus in our different churches, in our lives, in our pursuits, then we need to become clearer in what we're doing, hearing the word, keeping it in our heart. That's what abiding in Christ, because this is what comes through. This is the nourishment that we get, and we get this because the root has the root, and the Holy Spirit is committed to. They can't do it. Cannot happen because it's just a part of the nature. Just like God cannot be unholy. He is holy. That's it. It's not a choice. Learning to love Jesus and doing what he said. And that used to be such a scary thing. If you love me, you will obey me. It's like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
How many times do we not obey? Does that mean I don't love you?
Yeah.
And as the author says, it takes time. And you love him more today than you did yesterday. And that's why that's my declaration. I am running this race to make Jesus the prize of my life. Loving others. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, not some people know. And there we go through that fruit inspection and seeing how we, how earnestly we pursue truth and how earnestly, you know, not lying to ourselves and thinking more highly of ourselves for our process than we should. And then, and this is one of the most powerful ones to me, is hating the world's system. Not hating the world, not hating sinners, but hating the world's system. Loving not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And that's so, it gets us. It traps us. Because a lot of the things that we deal with and believe we have to have every day, there's just some things in the world we, you know, you have to have them every day. But to learn to, as Christ told Satan, a man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word. You know, and so not fearing. And, you know, just like that was one of the seven next sayings, what are you looking for? You know, what are you looking for that thing in the world to do for you in your life? Because you should look for me to do it, not the things in the world. And so as a result, we would hate the world's system, not want to be a part of it. You know, some of the foolishness on television, and in entertainment, in our churches, you know, in each other's lives, there's things that we see in one another's life that's worldly, and we don't say nothing about it. You know, we just be quiet. Well, you know how she is. No. You know, we have to be actively engaged, and then remaining steadfast in the faith of the gospel. And I think one of the things here is understanding what the gospel really is, because we can't have faith. We know it's the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's a lot more to it than that. And because we only have a shallow or surface view of it, we do need to go deep. Amen. So we want to make sure that those are some of the elements that are being addressed as we glean from this is a witness of the wonders. This gentleman, this Andrew Murray, who has written several books to encourage and to help the Christians grow and develop. Yes. Amen. Other insights, input?
Good morning, Overseer.
Yes.
As I was kind of reacquainting myself with this, and I will say, I think that was Sister Margaret that just said that she felt that this was deep. It is a serious read, you know. I mean, but you know, certainly I don't think that would be any reason to shrink back from it. However, you know, every sentence almost is weighty. You know, as you go through. But one of the things that impressed me as I was looking at it, when it's talking about the whole come to him, you know, and we think of that as being the end, I think, in a lot of cases, because it can be
yes.
such a struggle, and the struggles that we feel spiritually are so that we might surrender, but that is the beginning of the process as opposed to the end of the process. Beginning, you know, beginning and end, in as much as we need to confess our sins and ask Christ to come into our hearts. But once that happens, so now we have that come, and as in the first couple verses of the passage that John talks about, you know, it says that we are in Him, and we've been cleaned, and we've been purged, and grafted in. But then once that happens, the abide is the next step, you know. And I think because we have looked at that fruit of the Spirit in the past, it gives us a different perspective of the abiding. Why is there such difficulty in the characteristics of our lives, our behaviors, exemplifying that love, joy, and peace, and patience, long-suffering? You know, we went through the whole idea of faith and the mental ascent, because a lot of times we know that this is true and this is required of us, but there seems to be something that is hindering us from feeling like we have the ability to make it happen in our lives. Like, this is just how I am. You know that I'm an impatient person, or I just have a problem with self-control, or whatever the fruit is that we seem to lack, or seems to wither on the minds in our lives. And I think as we delve into Andrew Murray, we'll see that it's because we don't abide. You know, we don't abide because he talks about it being, you know, moment by moment, not just come to Him. But if we want to exemplify and have the life of Christ, it's only through abiding in Him on a moment by moment basis that we mm-hmm. abide in Him as He abides in the Father. And, you know, that's really where the rubber meets the road. And there really is no easy way to do it other than just do it. And there is no excuse for not doing it other than just doing it, because He has already made the way available. When we come to Him, you know, mm-hmm. He tells us that we're clean through the word that He's spoken unto us. And even in the preface where it says all the blessings that are bestowed, He's already given us when we come. But now when we want to experience and see the bountifulness and be able to bless and move and live in abundance, that happens with the abiding. And sometimes we just never connect the dots and we never really abide. So you know, when it says, do you love me? Do we really love Him, or is it just a saving love?
Right.
You know, is He just our Savior, or is He going to be our Lord? And so, you know, the Lordship is the abiding. You know, the Savior is the coming. And then we have to really question, you
yes.
know, if we really aren't abiding, you know, are we one of those branches that has withered and been cast, you know, cast into the fire? Then we may not see hell, but are we going to really suffer extreme loss for just not choosing to, you know, make those hard decisions?
Absolutely.
And I think another, as you were speaking, one of the things when we come to Christ, we come because, as the word said, we came because we heard. We heard because mm-hmm. there was a preacher. And so that was the outside. And so we came. But then we had to start to do something with our minds, on our own, on a personal level, not on our own level, but on a personal level. And I think that one of the biggest issues is we do not study the Bible. And when we
Amen.
Do, we get it on Sunday, and that's it. Or we get a Sunday school lesson, and we mm-hmm. we read it. We do not study it. We read it.
Mm-hmm.
Because the moment mm-hmm. we start studying, we have all these aha moments. And we,
yes.
you know, once you, if you really, just the, even a word, just one word, if you, you know, do what the apostle says, look up the Greek, and then you look up and go, oh, wow. You know, you get an oh, wow
yeah.
moment.
Right.
And so, but so we take those as moments, not as lifestyle. And so we don't, you know, and we do. We'll take our prayer time. Yes, we will. Yes. You know, we'll get up over there in the morning for it. Well, not everybody, but, you know, there are those that they will. But and they'll read their word. And he didn't say read your word. He said study it. Study it.
Yeah.
And we don't really study it to allow Holy Spirit to tie the pieces together. Or not even to tie the pieces, just to paint the picture, connect the dots. You know, we don't
right.
study like that. We study to read or study for a purpose. I got to deliver this message or whatever. And we'll deliver the message or whatever the task is assigned to us. And then we go on with life. Whereas life is what we should do momentarily, you know, for that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And then go on
mm-hmm.
with Him. Okay. And so we may leave Him for a moment to go to work, and then we come back. Now we're and,
mm-hmm.
you know, we go with Him, but just we got it backwards. I think C.S. Lewis said, "His life is the dream, and when we
mm-hmm.
awake, we will be in heaven." So we got it backwards.
Mm-hmm.
Just like you know, night is the beginning of the day, not the end. We got it backwards, and because the way we think is not the way God thinks. And so we
right.
have to study His word. When you study His word, I tell anybody, it is the most fascinating book in the world. And I'll tell you how you can we don't even have to prove it. The world has proven it because the world has made more pictures from the book from the Bible than they have from any other book that's ever been written. Now they may have made some pictures from other books. But how many pictures have they made in Hollywood or wherever they make pictures that came out of the Word of God?
Mm-hmm.
And so even the world recognizes it as a powerful literary piece, even if you just want to look at it that way. And anything that's literary and powerful, the world is going to have a knowledge of. Because
uh-huh.
they understand that it is, what do they call that, a force to be reckoned with on some
mm-hmm.
kind of level. And that we're the only people that don't reckon with other people. We just recklessly go through life without really having an understanding of what it is where we're walking through. And, you know, we just
uh-huh.
go through la-la-ing and consuming and whatever. You know, we're not without stopping and thinking and, you know, and seeking and understanding. He says, and all you're getting, and not just an understanding of Him, get an understanding of why you're doing everything you do. Understand why you're doing it. Because I think
uh-huh.
when we look at it, then we'll understand how foolish it is to not abide, not to come into an intimacy, you know, with the most powerful lasting and all knowing and all everything who He is, you know, who wouldn't, you know? And yet I think we don't because we don't know. It's ignorance. We really don't believe that He is. We don't understand when He said, I am. If we
uh-huh.
understood that, we probably could not lift our head. We would be bowing in worship continuously. Because he does. We say, you know, let your face shine upon us, your countenance, you know, that scripture that we never get right in service. You know, His face is shining down on us. The face of God looks upon us. He sheds His countenance upon us. I mean, that's such a powerful thing. And that's who has us. That's the one that has us engrafted into His Son. Okay, this is all His plan. This is all His the work of His hands. And so when we come to study his word and seek its truth, our spirit connects with the word because our spirits are from him, because he created us. And we really do, we become empowered, even if it's just for that moment. But what he's bidding us to do now is to come and linger. You know, don't, you know, just linger. Really set aside, this is coming up to the time of Lent and of consecration and different things for Resurrection Sunday and just the different, you know, feasts and festivals, just times that we celebrate and acknowledge, and that should really be lifestyle, but can change our lifestyle so that we will abide and we will be immune, if you will. It's like you get your flu shot. You know, we get our Jesus abiding shot. And then whatever's going on in the world.
And overseer.
Yes.
Oh, hello. And I want to say, this is Minister Pat, as I was listening to you all, I haven't read the book, haven't gotten it, but the scripture came, he that dwell in the secret place and then abide in me. And I can say by even the books that we've been reading thus far in the biblical study, it gave me another zeal of the truth and the revelation of God. And by studying those pages, my life came, you know, a renewness, a newness back in him, a wanting to draw near to him like never before, and realizing that it was essential, it was priority, it was important that whether it be my watch time or whatever, if he woke me up at 12 or at 2 or 3 in the morning, that was the time to get in his presence like never before. And when you all were talking about the branch and the vine and all that, it is just awesome that God is, and he don't stop loving us or disapprove of us or give up on us. We give up on him. We start not drawing closer to him. We try to do things our way and think, okay, I'm going to get it right. But we can't do it alone. We need him. We need the people he'll put in our lives to help us to grow and to help us to continue to mature in him. And we're not on baby food. We're on solid. We're on the solid food. But we have to realize when that God is trying to, you know, speak to us even more. And I know from those books that I've been doing that my life just, oh, it turned back to where I needed to be and that I needed to abide more in him. I needed to dwell in his presence. I needed to draw near to him, knowing that he was already drawing me. He had never left me, but I was leaving him because I thought, okay, I can work it on my own. And I'm just excited in this 31 devotion that I will get this book and I will go forth and read every word. Like I think Sister Margaret was saying, she only not read it two times. She knows she has to read it again. And it's that's just like me. I seem like I have to read it two and three times to get a better understanding of what he's saying. But every time I read it, you see something that you didn't see before. And I just thank God that he loves us so much that even with this devotion that Elder Deborah has brought forth, it's something that we need and as a body, and then not to just help ourselves but to help others to come into salvation and to deliverance and healing and restoration and wholeness. And I just thank God for just word for the word that you all are giving us what we need, and I'm just glad to be able to hear that on today. And thank you. That's all I want to say.
Amen. Amen. So we're going to end today's lesson by reading the scripture that's going to be the basis of our study, and we're going to the first 2 days of the devotion. And one of the things I know when Elder Deborah was reading, and I'm not sure what version hers said, but when she read day two, she said, "And you shall find rest for your soul." Now, my book says, "And you shall find rest to your soul." And I and the Holy Spirit just told me to circle that word. And so when you do your studying for these two days for this week.
Oh, but see, I read it wrong. It does say rest to your soul.
Okay, but you know what? That's perfect, because that's what we generally say, rest for your soul. That we say, that's what we say. But like I said, Holy Spirit, circle that first, because just changing that word to two is going to change our life. We need to understand what is the difference from finding rest for your soul or rest to your soul. I don't know, you know, the English language like I should, but I don't know what two and four, you know, what kind of words here, whatever. I know Holy Spirit say circle it, so I want you to circle it and see how He changes our perspective by giving us His word the way we need to give it back. We need to even give it back to our souls the way He gives it to us. So we do often say some things, and sometimes they change versions, changes things, and I understand that. I understand that. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. I'm just saying in this one particular instance, that's what we want to look for, because that's what we say, rest for our soul. Now, I don't know if somebody wants to read John 15, first chapter, first verse through the 12th verse is our foundational scripture for this book. We'll obviously be looking at other scriptures as they tie into this. And so that's really exciting. That really excites me, because this is studying. This is Bible study, okay?
And over here, before that's read, can I just make one point? On the first statement, it says, all you who have come to Him, that I think that the all is really important, because the requirement is for all of us. You know, all.
Okay, that's good.
And I think that we selectively decide what it is we can do and what we can't. And then we look to God's grace and mercy to allow us to kind of navigate in between there. But the fact that it starts off, all you who have come to Him. The writer Oswald Chambers says that most of us don't consciously and deliberately disobey God. We just don't do what He says. You know, and I think that sometimes we need to think about that. You know, that we're not trying to be bad people. We're not trying to do anti all of those fruits of the Spirit. We just don't do what the Word says. And so I just think that's a context that all of us is required of all of us, and what He's requiring is that we abide. What I have here, I do have the Message, the Amplified, or the King James. Those are the three that I have in front of me. I'm not sure if you have a preference or...
Let's see what the Message say. Well, each week we'll read it in a different version. So let's read it in the Message. I think that's such a phenomenal statement. I do want us to circle that word all and see what a difference it makes if you leave it out or if you put it in. All. And I think the other thing, you know, that she said is that we try to be bad children, and sometimes we mess each other up by saying that and thinking that, oh, you're bad, or you shouldn't do this, or you should. But the thing is, we're ignorant children. Because we don't know the whole word. And it's not that we don't know that we're not supposed to do something, but we don't know the whole word, which tells us how not to do it. Mm. And tells us and shows us the way to not do, or really the way to do it. And so we look at things as presenting the negative aspect, but we need to present the positive aspect of, because the whole basis of everything is love, not punishment. And so if we look at it as, so as I said, and I think we'll read it in here, you know, this is why we're supposed to do it, because you love. So, you know, anybody that's ever been in love, got married, whatever, you didn't love that person the way you did in the beginning, 5 years from then. It wasn't the same way at all. Whether it was better or worse, I'm not saying. However, the more you got to know that person, the more it affected your love for that person. The more you experience life with that person, the more your love for that person evolved, whether it went up or down, you know, that's man. But with God, it'll go up. So we want to read it from the Message Bible. Praise the Lord.
This is the Message Bible. I am the real vine, and my Father is the farmer. He cuts off every branch of me that doesn't bear grapes, and every branch that is grape bearing, he prunes back so it will bear even more. You are already pruned back by the message I have spoken. Live in me. Make your home in me just as I do in you. In the same way that a branch can't bear grapes by itself, but only by being joined to the vine, you can't bear fruit unless you are joined with me. I am the vine, you are the branches. When you are joined with me and I with you, the relation, intimate and organic, the harvest is sure to be abundant. Separated, you can't produce a thing. Anyone who separates from me is dead wood, gathered up and thrown into the bonfire. But if you make yourselves at home with me, and my words are at home in you, you can be sure that whatever you will ask will be listened to and acted upon. This is how my Father shows who he is. When you produce grapes, when you mature as my disciples, I've loved you the way my Father has loved me. Make yourselves at home in my love. If you keep my commandments, you'll remain intimately at home in my love. That's what I've done. Kept my Father's commands and made myself at home in his love. I've told you these things for a purpose, that my joy might be your joy and your joy wholly mature. This is my command. Love one another the way I have loved you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Of one another. Praise God, praise God, praise God. So that lets us know how Holy Spirit has orchestrated, is orchestrating our maturity, our developing in him and in our destiny. So these are the things that are leading us as we follow him to the place of power that we need to have in the world today, so that these mountains of authority will be taken over only because we're on them and we have been taken over by the kingdom of the living God. And so it's not we running up here to plant a flag. No, we're marching. As the old folks used to say, we're marching to Zion. And because we are a force to reckon with, wherever we go, we're going to transform what we walk through, because that's the power and the authority given to us. And we need to know that and not be so concerned with the things of the world that distract us in our walk and in our ministry. And so we just praise God for you. Any comments, questions, input, insight? It's not we want to make that
comment. I keep.
Yes.
Go ahead. I don't.
Okay, well, may I ask just one more time, would you give us the definition for abide?
Okay, I sure will. And, you know, I encourage you to look it up in different, you know, in different resources. But this one is, I thought it was a very interesting study on it, and it says abiding Christ. It is a patient expectancy. It is neither wasteful idleness nor anxious striving. And the scripture is Psalms 62:5, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him.
Okay. Now, and thank you. You know how a lot of times we hear words interchanged and used in conversation, but I was just sitting here thinking, I never heard abide used anywhere else.
Ah,
I mean,
okay.
Have anyone else? Have you heard anybody say, oh, honey, I abide in you? Or abide in the government, Democratic Party. That is a word that I don't believe I've heard otherwise.
Amen. Without being made reference to the word, I just thinking back, I would agree with you on that. Absolutely.
Very powerful insight.
It is. And I love God. Because you know what? The world can't do a thing with him.
Nothing. Not at all.
They can't even handle his words. Okay. Oh, God, I just love it. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'd like to
know. You know.
Yes, go ahead. Uh-huh.
I was going to say over here that the author says that abiding is intimate and organic, and there are not very many other things that are intimate and organic at the same time. I think that's really deep. Just one last caution. I would suggest, as opposed to reading this as a book, you read it chapter by chapter, and so if you reread anything, reread one until you get it, because some of these things, I'm telling you, you might need to read it 4, 5, 6 times, because the language, the word choice was written at a different time. Not that the words are different, but we don't speak in the same type of vernacular. So I'd say, as opposed to just reading through or even just listening to reread each one, and I'm not saying this for you, but I'm saying for myself and to be able to glean and get what's in it, because every time you read it, a particular day, there is just more and more and more to pull out of it. One whole
can
day.
Can you all give the name?
Yes.
Can you all give the name of the book? I know the author, but the name.
It's Abide
in Christ.
Yes.
Okay, it's called Abide in Christ. Thank you.
Yes. I think it's interesting, too, Elder, because the fact is that we're not reading it. We are studying. And that's the difference, is when you study, you are supposed to read it more than once or twice. But we're so busy, we're so task-oriented, we feel, okay, I got to do these two chapters. No. You know, and so that's why I said we will go at our own pace. And I knew we were going to do one, you know, because sometimes they flow, and one builds on the other. But I do want us to always know what is the next one as you study it, because oftentimes that pulls you and pulls out what's in what you're currently in, so that you don't miss something that you're going to need that step in the next one. And so I do. I agree with you, Elder, and Sister Margaret. It's not a
a negative thing to read it more than once. It is the thing to do as we study.
Yeah.
We're studying this, and that's what makes the difference. Absolutely.
Well, what I'm saying to myself, okay, so you read it one time, now go back and study.
Okay, amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Two different things.
Absolutely. Yes. Yes, it is.
So, am I to be clear in saying for next week, we're saying we are studying what chapters again?
1 and 2.
Okay. All right.
And that is all you who have come to him. And then the next one, and you shall find rest to your souls. We want to check out that two and that all. Absolutely. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So, I used to always give these at the end of the program, so I'm going to start back doing it. There's sometimes you find these little cute sayings that are really things to think about. And this one is, what if you woke up today with only the things you thanked God for yesterday?
Ooh,
wow.
On that note, praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Enjoy, obey, recognize, look for, and embrace the ministry of Holy Spirit. Amen.
Oh my.
Amen.
All right. For the pride of fellowship.
Hallelujah. Thank you.
Yes, Lord.
Thank God.
Mm-hmm.